People have a real tough time with memory, I think. Today is 9/11. You see on our bulletin it says, never forget, right? Yet, we go around the United States, it's been 15 years. That's hard to believe, 15 years since this occurred. And I think of how many people have forgotten. Oh, they might remember it. Oh, yeah, 9/11. Twin Towers went down. And, you know, the Pentagon got hit. And that airplane went down. They might remember the airplane that went down in Pennsylvania. And it was terrorists. And, you know, they remember certain things. But it's not a thing of truly remembering. My girls, I thought it was funny, Wayne, you said, where were you? Do you remember where you were? And both girls raised their hand, and I looked over at them and said, especially Natalie, who's almost 15, and I said, how do you remember where you were? She says, I was in Mom's belly. I thought, okay, there you go. That's good. That's good. So, and I guess Callie remembered she was a twinkle in our eye, right? So... But I think of this day, and I want to ask you. I don't want to ask you where you were. I want to ask you, as you think back and remember 9/11, what do you remember? We know the tragedy. We know the tragedy. So I'm not asking, do you remember that the airplanes and the details of, you know, the airplanes hitting the buildings and what people's responses were and, you know, as far as... Like Wayne had read, you know, some guys got out, some people decided to end things differently than, you know, what the wreckage would have caused for their life and so forth. Not talking about that, but what other things stick out in your mind worthy of remembrance on 9/11? Anyone want to share?
President, all the churches had a dentist appointment there.
Okay. So remembering, she had a friend that had a dental appointment that morning. Therefore, her office was in the towers, and therefore she wasn't at the towers. And so, yeah, a lot of people remember how God intervened with some other appointments, some maybe even what they thought were inconveniences. Yeah. What else do you remember from that day?
My biggest fear, we were fighting, and we lived in the van at the time, and I had a child in daycare, a child in middle school, and a child in high school. And as it went to Pennsylvania and hit the Pentagon, I thought, they're coming down the coast.
Mm-hmm.
I made a direct call to Saudi Arabia. I didn't know what to call, but I didn't care. I said, he didn't even get murdered at that time.
Oh, wow.
Should I go get the kids out of school? I just feared for my kids. My first thought was to go get them.
Okay, so. Yeah, there was a lot of fear. And I remember I was actually at Golden Corral because I was having a meeting with other youth pastors. And, of course, this happened, and only one other youth pastor showed up. And our waitress was beside herself because her husband worked at the Pentagon. And so she didn't hear. He couldn't call and so forth. Thankfully, he was okay, but we found out later. But I remember we had her sit with us, and we prayed for her and prayed for her husband and that type of thing. And then for years afterwards, she remembered us, and we were able to just kind of have a contact with her through that, and it was pretty neat.
It was my brother-in-law's birthday, and he said he would always remember when it happened. And he was still alive. He'd be 98 years old.
Wow. Wow.
I remember how gorgeous the day was. I was loading up two little ones in car seats, buckling them in, and crying on the front end. And I got in the van and was heading to teach this lesson. And it turned out that the lady that I taught, her husband was the Presbyterian turn because she was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I remember telling the kids how what a gorgeous day it is, and it's a beautiful day without me. They were able to listen to the radio and or listen to their TV. They turned it on, and all they hear was a bunch of talking and
mm-hmm.
people just populated.
Sure. All right, how about later in the day and after that day? What do you remember? Later in the day and after that day. Not of what was going on necessarily with you, but just maybe some things that you remember hearing in the news afterwards.
After all, I lost our lives.
Okay. Right, definitely here remembering the lives lost. What else, though? Maybe some good things that we were hearing.
My son was a little police that day.
Okay.
And everybody was scrambling. They didn't know whether to send President Bush on the airplane and get him out, or to send him to the, they thought they were going to get to the Capitol. So everybody was just, and maybe 3 hours after, everybody was still running around.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't know really what to do. And President Bush was all shaken, you know.
Sure.
And, you know, here's my son with all this equipment and big gun running around over there trying to figure out. It took a long time to get those people out of the Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Very long time. And about a few days later, President Bush had a meeting, and he said he needed to have special people. He didn't have a name for it yet, but on the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
He asked my son. He officially asked him because he was on the SWAT team and he had been in Capitol Police like mm-hmm. already 13 years. So my son was the first federal air marshal appointed from President Bush. And it was really, a lot of people don't know how bad it was unless you knew
right.
someone
the inside.
There. And they sure. didn't get those people out of the Pentagon for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, right. But, you know, he was kind of like with a big gun guarding, and, you know, they kept waiting and waiting. Because mm-hmm. they really thought that if that woman who went to Pennsylvania, it was going to happen.
Sure.
And then the White House.
So, how about, I guess what I'm also driving toward, or, you know, like her son who was there helping keep chaos down, and been thinking of the police and firemen that ran into the buildings. They were heroes, and they need to be remembered, especially the ones that lost their lives in an attempt to save lives and saving lives. And that's, you know, if you read, and they have a pretty good movie about this. I think Nicolas Cage is in it. I forget the name of the movie exactly, but I just remember one of the things that they talked about, and then you saw in the movie was all the people coming down the stairs while the firemen were going up the stairs. That was pretty amazing. What was happening there and the heroism that went on. And these are things that don't need to be forgotten, right? Because they were there to save lives and attempt to save lives, even at the expense of their own.
You know, Jeff was in New Jersey, right? And he lived right across the river from there. And I tried to call him, and he wouldn't answer the phone, and I thought, oh, my goodness, but he'd been working in New York.
Mm.
But come find out, he had gotten off work at 7:30 that morning and gone to bed, and he didn't know anything about it.
Right.
But you can see the smoke.
Wow. Wow.
My son, he just left the Pentagon to sleep. And I was at work. Anyway, I was like waiting for him to call, and finally he did call, and I could hear all the people screaming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was on the phone, and I go, then one was my dad.
Wow. And so, and it was. It's good to remember, even something as tragic as 9/11. If you think back to the Western days, for instance. What was the war cry out in the West, especially if you were a Texan? Does anybody know what that was? John Wayne did all kinds of movies like this. What was it?
Remember the Alamo.
Remember the Alamo. But we don't spend a whole lot of time nowadays remembering the Alamo, do we? Yet some amazing, very courageous men gave their lives protecting the freedoms of Texas at the Alamo, holding off. There's just a few men, less than 100, holding off over 2,000 Mexican army troops. But again, I wonder if they had slogans of never forget. Well, these events, these heroic acts of men and women from 9/11 are worthy of our remembrance. But there's something that happened over 2,000 years ago, right around 2,000 years ago, an event that will mark eternity. 9/11, like the Alamo, several hundred years from now, it'll be just something in history books. But something that affects eternity is beyond just a history book or a history lesson. And that, of course, is remembering Jesus' sacrifice. It is a biblical precedent for us to remember. Both the Old and the New Testament focus in several places, and I'll be getting to some of those, on remembrance. God calling us and calling His people Israel to remember. To remember. And it wasn't necessarily remembering some beautiful, wonderful things, but to remember those tragic things and how God redeemed. And we'll get to some of that in a little bit. Therefore, thoughts of the future should bring us to an understanding of the importance of remembrance. Will you pray with me? Holy God, as we step into Your Word, as we look into Your thoughts of what we should be remembering, may we put our mind in gear. Holy Spirit, revive us today. Revive us to the glories of our God. As today in America, we will have many TV programs and newscasts. We ourselves will take time to remember the heroic acts of men and women on 9/11-2001. May we use this as a reminder to us to remember the glorious acts of our God, especially as it affects our lives and then the lives of those we know and come to know for our future. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask that you turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. Now, by the time Peter wrote this letter, he had become the godly man Jesus knew he would become while Jesus was still on earth. Now, if you remember, when Jesus was taken, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was there to be alone, to be in prayer. He was taken. And, of course, was brought to the courts of the Sanhedrin, and Peter followed. Jesus had already predicted that Peter, who sat there and said, "Jesus, I'll die to save you and to stand by you." And Jesus looked at him and said, "Peter, even tonight you'll deny me three times, even before the rooster crows at dawn." And sure enough, Peter had three opportunities to stand for Christ, and he denied Christ. Denied Jesus, and then the rooster crowed, and he remembered and was in shame. But Jesus predicted what kind of man he would become. After his resurrection, he met with Peter, and he said, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter answered, "Yes, I do." He said, "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, I do." "Peter, do you love me?" "Yes, I do." And Jesus' response each time from that was, "Feed my sheep." And so now we come to this letter, which is part of that fulfillment of Peter feeding Jesus' people, those who become believers in Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 10. Therefore, brothers, make every effort to confirm your calling and election, because if you do these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, entry into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be richly supplied to you. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things. Even though you know them and are established in the truth, you have. I consider it right, as long as I am in this bodily tent, to wake you up with a reminder. John Bloom wrote this: the entire Bible itself is a memorial. We meditate on it daily to remember. Peter sees as a duty the importance of remembrance. And he's helping us then to see the same importance for our lives. He's not the only one then to express the importance of remembrance. Remember, I said both in the Old and New Testament, God calls us to remember. And so we can read then, for instance, from the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah, found in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 46, verse 9. Isaiah, actually it's God himself speaking, and Isaiah is writing it down, where God said, "Remember what happened long ago, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and no one is like me." We are called, as Israel was called, to remember that God is God. As Isaiah penned, "You are God, and I am not." Boy, I'm glad I'm not God. I'm glad I'm not God. I'll be honest with you. I have my agendas and my soapboxes, and there are certain people on this earth that I'd probably just go ahead and wipe out if I were God. And I could pick any petty reason. Right? I mean, think of it. And yet, we're all sinners before the holiness of God. And God still gives us a chance by His grace, by His mercy, and by His love. I'm glad I'm not God. So in this passage then that we read that Peter has written in 2 Peter chapter 1, the first thing that he points out to us, to true believers, born-again believers, is the need for us to confirm our salvation and election. The point here is to know that we know we're saved. I'm speaking with you as a man who also needs to know that I'm saved. I've talked with and heard even preachers who continually go back to their birthday as their litmus of salvation, as their litmus of, am I saved? Now, I'm not saying that's wrong. I love thinking of and recanting my birthday with Jesus. I won't take time to tell you of it now. But I really do enjoy it, and I know it as though it happened this morning. But I often wonder, for some people, that they can only go there. And it's like they are trying to convince themselves, and I'm saying I've even heard preachers try to do this, but it's almost as though sermon after sermon, they're trying to convince themselves that they're saved based on their birthday. To me, that's because they're not remembering, maybe because there isn't a remembrance, of Jesus' work in their life yesterday, last week, last month. I'm not saying we shouldn't recant our birthday. I think we should. I think it is a beautiful testimony of what God's redeeming power through Jesus has done in our lives. But it shouldn't be just that that confirms our salvation. We should know that we know that we're saved And I challenge you, if you want to truly know, read, study, and get to know the letter that John wrote. We entitle it 1 John. It's only five chapters. But John wrote this, and in chapter 5, the last chapter, verse 13, John said this, "I have written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God." Why? "So that you may know that you have eternal life." I'm telling you something. I've had the privilege of sharing the gospel to many people. And it saddens me when I say, you know, the pad question. If you were to die right now, do you know positively that you would go to heaven? And I can't tell you how many times I've heard, "I hope so." That's kind of tough. You hope so, but you're not positive. Well, nobody can be positive. That's what I've... Well, hold on. John, Jesus' favorite, wrote, "I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may have an idea that you have eternal life." He didn't say that. I don't care if you're reading it in English, in the original Greek, in Aramaic, in Russian, in Swahili, it's going to say that you may know that you have eternal life. I'm here to tell you, you can be confident, if you are a true born-again believer, you can be confident in your salvation. Now, 1 John's going to tell you all of those things that will lead you to that confidence. We don't have time today. You wouldn't want me to take time today to go through it all. But I challenge you to read it. The Apostle Paul said that we should work out our salvation. That's very similar to what Peter said, in that we should confirm our salvation, or our I've lost my train of thought, and our election. But the Apostle Paul said it this way. He said that we should work out our salvation, and he didn't say we should do it in any flippant manner. He said we should work it out with fear and trembling. And he was talking about something that we do daily. It doesn't mean we have to get saved every single day. It doesn't mean that if I slip up and I sin, and Lord, I know it's a sin, I know it's against you, I even premeditated it, I planned to do this knowing it's wrong, and I slipped up, God, I am grieving before you because of this. Well, 1 John, we'll go back to that, where John wrote that if you confess your sin, God is faithful. He is just. In other words, He is the judge. And He will forgive you of your sin and clean you up from your unrighteousness. And so we can have that forgiveness. We don't have to be re-saved, but we do need to work out our salvation daily, and that's what Paul's talking about. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, "So then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Do you know what Paul's really saying? Don't forget from what you were saved, by whom you were saved, and for what you're saved. Don't forget from what you were saved, by whom you were saved, and for what you are saved. That's what he's saying. So one of the first ways for us to work out our salvation and confirm, as Peter said, our calling and election, is to review our repentance of sin. This is something we should do daily. Review our repentance from sin. The Apostle John wrote, this same John, wrote in Revelation his warning then to the Church of Ephesus. The Church of Ephesus was a strong church, but they had lost their first love. And he said this in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. He said, "Remember then how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Otherwise, I will come to you," this is Jesus talking, "and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent." In other words, I'm going to remove you from glory. Repent. If If we repent of our sins and call upon Jesus as Lord or commander of our life and hope for our eternity, true, real hope, that is something we can know, but then we want to dive back into our own prideful living, we need to repent. We need to repent. And that's something that we should do daily, to come before God and remember our repentance. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 15 says, "Remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. That is why the Lord your God has commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." We should meet on Sundays to remember the slavery we were in, just like the Israelites. 400 years of slavery in Egypt. And God rescued them. He redeemed them. He delivered them out of that slavery. We are born in sin. The Bible's very clear on that. We're born in sin. And upon our birthday, being born again in Jesus Christ, we have been redeemed from that sin. And we are called, just like the Israelites were, especially on a Sunday, that's our Sabbath, to remember this. The former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, Johnny Hunt, once said, "Questions about the future, unaccompanied by glorious recollections of the past, will lead to spiritual defeat." I'll read that again. "Questions about the future, unaccompanied by glorious recollections of the past, will lead to spiritual defeat." None of us want to live in spiritual defeat. That is a most miserable place for those of us who have heard the truth. We know the truth, and yet we live in spiritual defeat. That means we live in the thing that we've claimed to be redeemed from, sinfulness in our lives. We are defeated people. Some of the most miserable people I've ever met in my life, and you probably could attest to this too, are people who claim to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, but they are willfully living in sin. They're miserable. They're miserable. I have sin struggles in my life. I am not standing here as a perfect person. In fact, I'll be honest with you, there are times, and I've called this out before the Lord, I believe I'm the biggest hypocrite in this church, or any church I've been in. I do. Because I know how sinful I am. And I make this statement of myself: if I find myself not struggling with sin, I'll really be worried. Because if I'm not struggling with sin, it's because I've given into it. If I've given into it, I've allowed it to become a lifestyle, and I have gone back to that which from which I've been redeemed. If you're looking for a perfect guy, do not look here, because I'm far from it. And yet, there's hope. Because the best way to keep us from going back to the ways of what we repented from is through God's Word. Remember, God's Word, like Mr. Bloom said, it's a memorial of remembrance. And I'm telling you, if we continually remember God and His gloriousness, I love how Johnny Hunt said that, God's glory, it will help us stay pure, stay on the right path. Even King David understood this. We read in Psalm 119, verse 9, "How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word." The Apostle Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. "Do not be conformed to this age, to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." There's no substitute for reading, studying, and knowing God's Word, and then seeking it daily. Wayne read from the Daily Bread. Do you know that only took about 3 minutes, what he read? That's something you can do every day. And he didn't read it real fast. He just read it normal. We have them back there. That's going to help you. That's a great starting place to be in God's Word every day. And they have, just like for September 11th, guess what? There's a September 12th reading. It'll take you about as long. Start there. Start there. To read, to study, to know God and His Word. That's how we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's how we renew our mind. I didn't get permission for this, so Tommy, I apologize. But I visited Tommy at the rehabilitation center last week, and he told me, Pastor Kurt, he said, I have to say, a few days ago, I was really down. I was really feeling sorry for myself. He said, I kind of got the picture. He was very despondent. And he said, and so I started reading God's Word. I started reading a book by a man of God of today. I forget which person, probably Max Lucado, because I know that's one of his favorite authors. And he said it wasn't too long, and I wasn't feeling sorry for myself anymore. I was able to chipper back up, so to speak, in my words. Why? Because of God's Word. Because of God's Word. And hanging around God's people. That's what we come to worship for. To be around God's people. Hearing God's Word. Sunday school. I challenge you. Come just an hour early. And come to Sunday school. We have great classes. Right here. Come to Sunday school. Bible study. If you're able to be here on a Wednesday morning, even if it's not on a regular basis, but you have a Wednesday off, and I'm just a testimony of that is Miss Jane over here. She works most Wednesdays, but when she has a Wednesday off, I'm so proud of her. She comes and she joins us because she wants to hear God's Word and she wants the fellowship of God's people. And it helps renew your mind, doesn't it, sister? Amen. I'm telling you, come join us. Be a part of it. Then after remembering our repentance, working out our salvation with this fear and trembling, then we need to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf to make our redemption possible. Like the Twin Towers, Jesus' physical body and His spirit had been terrorized and toppled. For the United States, the towers became a symbol of heroism and even a motive to fight terrorism. For the Christian, Jesus was the only payment worthy to allow us to have right standing before Almighty God and not be condemned. This is why we read Paul's instructions for remembering. It's what we celebrated last week, but I'd like to read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. Paul said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, after supper, He also took the cup and said, 'This cup is the new covenant established by My blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes.'" You proclaim the payment of our sins. You proclaim His redemption till He comes. Our remembrances don't stop with the echoes of our repentance and the commemoration of our redemption in Christ through Jesus' sacrifice and payment. But it continues with the acknowledgement and recollection of the truth of Jesus' bodily resurrection, which is the basis of our hope for our future. If we were a people that had to just live in the past, there's nowhere in Scripture that tells us to live in the past. Nowhere. It just says, remember the past. Remember from how far you fell. And from how far you've had to be redeemed. Remember that. But don't live in it. Live for the future. Paul said it this way. He said, "Putting those things behind me, I press on toward the high call of God." That's what we're to be living in. In hope. in hope. And so we read in 2 Timothy, where Paul was writing to a young pastor, chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, he said, "Keep your attention on Jesus Christ as risen from the dead and descended from David. This is according to my gospel. I suffer for it to the point of being bound like a criminal. But God's message is not bound. This is why I endure all things for the elect, for those who are saved, so that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." Remember, like the Twin Towers, which are being rebuilt new into one gigantic tower, Jesus was made new as the firstborn of the resurrected, which means there's more coming. And he paved the way in his resurrection for all those who are born again, believing Christians, to be one with him. To be a child or son and daughter of God. And to be co-heirs of God's kingdom with Jesus Christ, our King. Wow. This is the most important remembrance with promise for our future. And it's worth living and dying for. Furthermore, we don't have to accomplish the working out of our salvation, or as Peter put it, the confirmation of our calling and election by ourselves. We don't have to grit our teeth and say in pride, "Well, I'm going to live for Jesus." We didn't save ourselves. We don't have to keep our salvation by ourselves. We just have to humbly submit ourselves to the leading direction of Jesus. And he promised this. We read in Philippians chapter 1, Jesus' promise, where Paul said, "I am sure of this, that he," Jesus Christ, "who started a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus," until the day Jesus returns. What a great promise for our hope in Christ. Jesus hears our humble repentance of sin as we proclaim him as Lord and commander of our life, Savior of our eternity, relying on him alone for our salvation, relying on him each day as we remember. We rely on him to be there and work out our salvation, work out the confirmation of our calling and election. What a beautiful thing. So the bottom line is, it is extremely important to remember things like 9/11, 2001. But this world will pass away. This world will pass away. Even the memory, if God tarries, if Jesus tarries, even the memory of 9/11, other than in books, will pass away, leaving only eternity. Because it will not pass away. Therefore, the most important thing is for us to daily work out our salvation, work out the confirmation of our calling and election in fear and trembling before Almighty God, remembering our repentance, remembering Jesus' work of redemption and his resurrection, and remembering the surety of his work in us and through us until his return. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Peter said, "Dear friends, this is now the second letter I've written to you. In both letters, I want to develop a genuine understanding with a reminder, so that you can remember the words previously spoken by the holy prophets and the command of our Lord and Savior given through your apostles." So the challenge for us is this. Every day this week, I challenge you with me to take time each day, consciously take time each day to remember from how far you fell, remember your repentance. Now, maybe you say, well, I was a pretty good person, but I still knew I needed Jesus. Then remember what Jesus kept you from by His redemption. Some may say, oh man, I was not the kind of person I should be. And Jesus redeemed me. Remember that. Remember that. But don't remember it in, I hope so, or maybe I'll have eternal life, but we can know. Remember it because Jesus was the first of the resurrected. His redemption was because of His death. His blood that was shed, it washed us clean if we accept Him as our Lord, as our Savior. And then remember His resurrection and that we too will be resurrected bodily for all eternity, living with Jesus. That's my challenge, every day to do that, and then be determined then, with Christ's help, to work out your salvation, tackle things in your life that you know are keeping you from loving God like you know you should, and tackle them head on. Let's do that together. So as we pray, we're going to have an invitation in just a moment. And that invitation is going to be for anyone who says, you know, I'm not sure of my salvation. Or maybe say, I've never been saved. I'm not a born-again believer. I ask you, don't hesitate. Come, quick. Let's get that taken care of. And some may say, well, Pastor, no, I'm saved, but I haven't been remembering. I haven't been remembering any of these things. And I want to commit to remembering, so that I can work out my salvation, work out the confirmation of my calling and election before Christ. Let's pray. Holy God, there is such an importance of remembrance for us. I call upon You. I don't know everybody else's heart, but Lord, I needed this because sometimes I don't consciously remember my repentance and that I have repented of sin. Therefore, I don't remember that I've been redeemed by Your Son Jesus. I don't remember that He has been resurrected bodily, physically. I don't remember that through His power, Your work will be performed till the day He returns in me. And therefore I will let pride rule. Oh God, I can't do this on my own. I'm praying it like this, Lord, because I know my brothers and sisters, they know their heart before You. Maybe there are some, maybe there are all of us that need to pray like this. And to just say, God, may I commit at least this week, every day, to take time to remember. To remember. Remember repentance. Remember Your redemption through Jesus. Remember Your resurrection through Christ. Remember that I am a child of the Almighty, Almighty God. Remember that I have a citizenship and co-heir of Your kingdom. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.